Well, if I were to ask you, how are you doing, how would you answer? Often when I'm asked this question, my go-to answer is just a simple, good. Now, if it was Miss Sheila asking this question, she would say, how are you really doing? When faced with questions like, how is your life going, or how are you doing, we aren't always quick to give an honest answer. We often think that people don't want to hear an honest answer. And in most settings that we are in, many people would be taken back if they received an honest answer. The cashier at the store, the server at the restaurant, or that coworker making small talk may not know how to react if we gave them an honest answer when they ask us how we are doing. However, around here, we are creating a culture of giving honest answers to such questions. So due to the other settings that I mentioned, giving an honest answer is not always our default response as humans. Sometimes it takes extra effort to answer questions like this honestly. In thinking about these questions, we can all agree that life can be hard, but God is good. So tonight, we are going to pick back up where we left off last August in our study of Psalm 119. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. As Blake said, we're going to look together at verses 57 through 64, which is found on page 608 in the pew and chair Bibles. So if you look back at the previous verses that we covered last summer, you will see the following themes in Psalm 119. Walking in the law of the Lord and keeping his testimonies. Seeking the Lord with our whole heart. Delighting in the Lord and trusting in his word, the steadfast love of the Lord, and our hope and comfort in the Lord. Each eight-verse stanza of Psalm 119 continues to build more and more on these themes. One of the themes that I mentioned is delighting in the Lord and trusting in his word. Our passage tonight doesn't specifically use the word delight, but it continues in the theme of delighting in the Lord. As we already expressed, life can be hard. As Blake said this morning, life can leave a lot unexplained. We could all honestly admit that we don't always delight in the Lord. Often we allow the cares of this life to weigh us down. In our passage tonight, we will see the example of how the psalmist delighted in the Lord in the midst of the triumphs, the trials, and the difficulties of his life. So let's read together Psalm 119, 57 through 64, and let's dig into this text together. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. So our main theme tonight is, as we delight in the Lord, we will have fellowship with him and with others. As we delight in the Lord, we will have fellowship with him and with others. So this passage that we just read is rich. Let's dive in and look more closely at this text. Verse 57 says, "The Lord is my portion." What do you think of when you hear the word portion? That's a word that we seem to use somewhat often. For a lot of us, we use this word in describing a restaurant. So have you ever eaten at a restaurant for the first time and described it something like, the food was good, the prices were reasonable, and the portions were large? That's my kind of restaurant, a place that is reasonably priced with good food and large portions. If the food didn't taste that good, it wouldn't really matter how large the portions were, would it? I mean, if it didn't taste that good, we wouldn't want to eat all of it. I've also described a restaurant by saying, the food was good, but the portions were small. I didn't get enough food for the price. Have you ever paid for a meal and left the restaurant still feeling hungry? In our culture, like I said, when we think of the word portion, we think in terms of food. But in the psalmist culture, the word portion was used in terms of land, territory, and inheritance. It was specifically used in referring to the promised land and how the land was split up between the tribes. The Levites were not given a portion because the Lord was their portion, their inheritance. So what does the psalmist mean when he declares, "The Lord is my portion"? He's saying the Lord is enough. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my life. What a powerful statement that is. Because the Lord is the psalmist's portion, because the Lord is the psalmist's inheritance, because the Lord is the psalmist's life, the Lord is enough. Remember how the Lord provided manna to the Israelites. The manna was enough for the day. Remember how Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He taught them to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." The manna and praying for our daily bread are both pictures of God's grace. God gives us the grace that we need at the moment that we need it, and God's grace is enough. Because the Lord is the psalmist's portion, because the Lord is enough, the psalmist promises to keep the Lord's words. So this is a picture of the Christian's fellowship with God. As the psalmist declares, "The Lord is my portion," he is delighting in the greatness of God. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." We are often quick to declare that the Lord is good. We are often quick to declare that our God is great. But have you ever taken a moment to ponder God's greatness? Have you ever been amazed by the beauty of his creation? Have you ever sung a song on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and been so overwhelmed by his greatness that you couldn't even get the words out? The Lord is great. He is our portion. He is our inheritance. He is our life, and he is enough. His grace is enough. So how amazing it is to think that the God of all creation has made a way for us to have a relationship with him. He cares for us. As we think of this, we can't help but desire and promise to keep his words. Verse 58 says, "I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." The psalmist says, "I entreat your favor." What does entreat mean? It means to pray for or to beg for. What is God's favor? God's favor is his face, his presence. Often when people talk about God's favor, they talk about God's blessings, often material blessings. And yes, God can choose to bless his children with material things, but that isn't what the psalmist is talking about here. The psalmist is praying for the presence of God in his life. He's not praying for material things. His desire is for fellowship and communion with God. His desire is to walk in God's ways, to walk in God's truth, and to delight in the Lord. He says, "Be gracious to me according to your promise." What does it mean to be gracious? It means to show favor. According to your promise means according to your word. So in verse 58, the psalmist is saying, "I beg for your favor, your presence, with all my heart, with all that is within me. Show me your favor according to your word." Is that the desire of our hearts tonight? Do we desire God's presence in all that we do? As Blake said this morning, because of who God is, we ought to give our entire lives to him. If we're not careful, we find ourselves compartmentalizing our lives. We seek the Lord in the morning by reading his word and praying through our prayer list. But often we find ourselves going about our day, only stopping to pray for our food or to pray for a particular need that arises. Do we truly desire his presence in all that we do, in our work, in our conversations, in our leisure, in our entertainment and downtime, as we drive, as we eat, or as we sleep? Verse 59 says, "When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies." Did you catch that? It doesn't say, When I think on my ways, I continue in my ways. Walking in our own ways is pride. The psalmist's attitude and actions are the opposite of pride. The psalmist is walking in meekness and humility. He's saying, when I think on my ways, when I consider my ways, when I consider my thoughts, my direction, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Here, turn means to return or to turn back. He's saying, when I consider my ways, I know that my ways are empty. I know that my ways are not enough. I need your ways. I need your thoughts. I need your direction. So I turn to you. I return to you and your testimonies, to your word. That is living and walking in God's wisdom. That is realizing that we need the Lord in all that we do. Verse 60 says, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. You've probably heard it said, delayed obedience is disobedience. Have you ever delayed to obey? Maybe you think back to when you were a kid, or maybe you think about your own kids. We can easily think of all kinds of reasons and excuses to not do what we should be doing and to delay our obedience. But here the psalmist said, I hasten, I hurry, I act quickly to keep your commandments without delay. I have resolved to be obedient. I have resolved to walk in obedience to your ways, to your word, and your truth. He's saying, your word has been proven true to me, and I desire to follow it with my whole heart. With all that is within me, it is my priority. I follow and obey you quickly without delay. Obedience is the desire of my heart. That is the example of the psalmist here. Verse 61 says, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. Here the psalmist shifts his thoughts to the wicked. He's saying, though the ways of the wicked are all around me, I do not forget your law. I do not forget your word. I do not forget your thoughts, and I do not forget your ways. We can identify with this statement. We live in a wicked world. What do you do when you are faced with the wickedness of this world? What do you do when you read the headlines or when you hear the news stories? Do you get overwhelmed? Do you get overcome by worry and fear? Do you look to someone to fix it? Do you look for a political system to fix it? Do you rehash the talking points from the cable news or from what you read on social media? We can take comfort in the Lord. He is our only hope in this wicked world. We live among unbelievers. We encounter unbelieving coworkers or unbelieving fellow students. We encounter unbelieving family members. Do you join in and take part in the things that they do or the way that they talk? The psalmist knew what it was like to live among and to be surrounded by the wicked. He knew what it was like to be around those who oppose God. He didn't try to fit in by joining in their wicked ways. He lived a life that was set apart. He didn't compromise, no matter what the cost. His response was, I do not forget your law. May this be said of us as well. May it be said that God's word is our priority. May we live our lives set apart, not compromising on the truth of God's word. Verse 62 says, at midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Have you ever had a hard time going to sleep because thoughts were racing through your mind? Have you ever been overcome with worry and fear the moment that your head hit the pillow? Often people fear the night because as long as they can be busy, they can avoid thinking about certain things. But the moment everything starts to slow down, those thoughts, those worries, and those fears come to the surface. Maybe you didn't have a hard time going to sleep, but you woke up in the middle of the night, and it was then that the worries and the fears came to your mind, and you had a hard time going back to sleep. The psalmist isn't worried or fearful in the middle of the night. He's giving praise to God. Verse 62 builds on Psalm 119:55, which says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. The psalmist remembers the name of the Lord in the night and keeps God's word. His love for God's word drives him to praise the Lord in the middle of the night. So if you rise up in the middle of the night praising the Lord because of your love for God's word, it's safe to say that you also wake up in the morning praising the Lord because of your love for God's word. So how do you wake up in the morning? Do you wake up praising God, or do you wake up dreading the day? What's your first thought in the morning? Is it something like, oh, here we go again? Do you groan when you wake up? For the over 40 crowd in the room, do you wake up thinking about all your aches and pains? Like the psalmist, we should rise up praising the Lord because of his righteous rules, whether that be in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning, and his praise should be on our lips throughout the day. Verse 63 says, I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to have an awe and a reverence for God. The psalmist is saying, I am a companion of, I am in fellowship with all who fear you, of all who have an awe and a reverence for God, of those who keep your word. So we know that the psalmist is writing this on the other side of the cross from where we live today. But when I think of this verse, I can't help but to think about the church. Yes, as we go throughout our day at work or at school or out and about, we can encounter unbelievers who fear the Lord and keep his word. We can encounter these other believers that are members of various churches in our community, and that is an awesome thing. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you just started having that conversation with them and the Lord wasn't mentioned, church wasn't mentioned, but in talking to them, you just knew that they knew the Lord? And I had that happen when I was in college. There was a guy that I had a couple of classes with, and we would talk after class. And our first couple of conversations, it was just small talk, but I just knew that he knew the Lord. And then eventually our conversations turned to that. And that's an awesome thing to know, to be able to have fellowship with someone that's a part of another church. But there is something to be said here of the local church. So how awesome it is to be in fellowship, to be in covenant with a group of local believers who fear the Lord and keep his word, to be there for one another, encouraging one another through the trials of life, to lift up each other in prayer, and to hold one another accountable. As we delight in the Lord, we will have fellowship with others. Verse 64 says, the earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. The steadfast love of the Lord is so great that it fills the earth. And the psalmist concludes this stanza by saying, teach me your statutes. The psalmist is committed to delighting in the Lord and in his word. Though he's already seeking the Lord and walking in his word, he realizes that he hasn't arrived. He still has so much more to learn from God's word. He is resolved to continue being a student of God's word as long as he lives. So how do we apply the example of the psalmist as we desire to delight in the Lord in our own lives? We will look at 8 sets of questions that correspond to each verse in this passage. So first, do you and I recognize that the Lord is our portion? Would we say that the Lord is enough, or do we desire to focus our time and attention on other things? Is the Lord our focus when things are going good in our life? Is the Lord our focus when we're facing difficulties and trials in our life? Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lamentations 3:21-24 says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is enough. His grace is enough. Like the manna for the Israelites in Moses' day, The Lord's mercies are new every morning. He is great, and great is his faithfulness. He is our hope. Second, do we desire God's favor in our lives? Do we seek his face? Do we desire his presence? Do we desire to have fellowship and communion with him? Do we desire to walk in his ways, to walk in his truth, and to delight in him? Can you identify with this? Do you find yourself seeking the Lord in the morning and then allowing yourself to get caught up in the busyness of your day at work or at school or in your daily routine without giving much thought to the Lord until something starts to go wrong? A few weeks ago, I told some dear brothers that I often find myself living my life defeated by the pressures of my day instead of by delighting in him in the midst of those pressures. This has challenged me to be more intentional about delighting in him throughout the day and to not allow myself to feel overwhelmed by the stress and the pressures of this life. Third, when you and I consider our own ways, does it drive us to turn our feet to his testimonies? Do we try to handle things on our own, or do we turn to him? Do we recognize that apart from him, our ways are empty? Do we recognize that our ways are not enough and that we need his ways, his thoughts, and his direction? We need the Lord in all that we do. Fourth, is it our priority to keep the Lord's commandments without delay? Is obedience to the Lord the desire of our heart? Do we desire to obey the Lord even when it could cost us our friends, our family, or our status? Fifth, do we allow ourselves to feel overwhelmed when we are reminded of all the evil and the wickedness in our world? Who do we look to for hope? Are we hoping in the Lord and in his word? Or have we placed our hope elsewhere? If our hope is placed somewhere else, we will ultimately be let down. When we rise in the middle of the night or in the morning, is praise for the Lord on our lips? Do we praise him throughout the day, no matter the circumstance? Seventh, do we walk in fellowship with those who fear the Lord and keep his word? Like I said before, what a beautiful picture this is of the fellowship of the local church, of the fellowship that we all have together in this local church. This body at CCBC does a great job of living out Romans 12:15, which says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." This body means so much to my family. Members of CCBC have shown up over the years to my kids' ball games, to their band concerts and plays. You have been there for us through sickness and grief, and we're just one family. Many here can share similar stories. We have rejoiced with fellow church members at their weddings as they have grown their families through birth and adoption and in new jobs. But we have also walked with fellow church members through sickness, loss, and grief. So I want to encourage us to continue making it a priority of getting to know our fellow church members through conversations, through discipling relationships, through servings on service teams together, and through praying for one another as we pray through the membership directory. Spend some time with one another outside of here. Get to know a family and attend their kids' ball games or band concerts or other events. As we get to know one another better, it becomes easier for us to pray for one another and to intercede for specific needs and requests. I'm really enjoying this new song that we've been singing the past 2 weeks. We are thankful. This morning, my family and I were sitting towards the back, and as we got to the chorus, I found myself looking out around the room and just thinking about how thankful I am to our faithful God for this church. And then eighth, are you and I exalting in the steadfast love of the Lord? Are we desiring for him to teach us his statutes? Are we desiring to continue to grow and learn as he continues to teach us his statutes? Like the psalmist, may we also have the attitude of we have not arrived and we need to rely on the Lord and his presence in our life daily. So I begin tonight by saying that in this passage we see the example of how the psalmist delighted in the Lord in the midst of the triumphs, the trials, and the difficulties of life. And as great as the psalmist's example is, we have a greater example, the greatest example of one who lived his life delighting in the Lord in the midst of the triumphs, the trials, and the difficulties. That example is the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect sinless life and paid the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross for our sins and giving us the victory through his resurrection. This is our hope. He is our hope in this life on earth and our hope in the promise of our heavenly home. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are our portion. You are our life and you are enough. Lord, help us to focus our lives on you. Lord, like the psalmist, we desire your presence in our lives. Lord, we need you in all that we do. May we not delay to keep your commandments. Lord, we praise you because of your righteousness. We thank you for this church and the fellowship that we have with one another. We thank you for your steadfast love for us. May we continue to grow and learn as you teach us your word. We pray for the rest of our time together tonight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.